We'll praise.
Go now.
I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. That's why my heart is filled with praise.
Hello.
Life, amen. A few years. Amen. Pastor Linda, amen. Speak to us. Let's see. There you go.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. All I can hear reverberating in my mind is that song, He Reigns. I just keep hearing, He Reigns, He Reigns. Didn't y'all feel that this morning? Didn't it touch every place that was out of order? He Reigns. He Reigns. That everything needed to bow down right then. He Reigns. It just made me so excited this morning as I just thought on that and just kept singing that He Reigns. There's nothing impossible, nothing too hard for Him this morning. Nothing out of order that He can't put in order. Come on. Now let the sick say I'm well. Now let the troubled mind, come on, get regulated because He reigns. So, Lord, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Father. We come to you in that vein of heart, God. That you reign, God. Thank you, God, that it's because you reign that we're standing here this morning, oh God. It's because your hand and your eye was upon us, God, keeping us, God, from all hurt, harm, and danger. And God, we are so grateful and so thankful, God, that this morning who we worship is you, God. You are who is high and lifted up in our hearts. You are the joy and the strength of our lives. God, we ask right now as we go into your word, oh God, that you continue to feed us, God, to nourish us, God, so that we can grow and that we can be made more and more into your image day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. Okay, this morning we're just going to continue on. Last Sunday I spoke about kingdom, representatives and mission, yes, mission. And so I wanted to remind us what our mission was, is what? To represent the kingdom of God at all times and everywhere. At all times and everywhere. Did you guys find that challenging this week? Or did you find some times where you had to say, hold up, represent? Because there were some things coming, right? Because as soon as we really delve into our mission and we make a decision, the enemy's going to oppose that decision. He's going to come and say, so you said what? So you're going to do what? And we've got to say, yes, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do, but not in my strength, not by my might, not by my power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm just so thankful that this week I just got to, what I'm excited about is when you make that decision that you can look forward to seeing the Spirit of God helping you. I thought about when Jesus was in the garden and he was praying and it says, he was praying so hard that, tears and sweat was just coming off of him. But I love the part when the angels came to minister to him. And can you imagine that in that worst of time, and he knows what's getting ready to happen. He knows he's about to get up on this cross, but then all around you is ministering angels. That when you pause and take that time to pray and to say, God, I don't really want to go through this, but nevertheless, Your will be done. And as soon as you say that, and God knows that you mean that, that he sends those ministering angels around you to give you, to empower you to go through. I can just imagine how that must have felt just in my daily walk with God. Is there's just times when I just don't want to do that, or I just don't want to let that go. I don't want to forgive right now, God, but nevertheless. And it seems like right when I say nevertheless, those ministering angels, they're right there. They let me know you're not doing this by yourself or in yourself, but we are here to minister to you, to give you the strength to do that. Today, I want to talk, continue on in that vein of, and talk about who we are. And God has called us beautiful names. In the Bible, there's just so many beautiful. The most beautiful is that I'm his daughter. That's his daughter, you know? And I think about that song that he knows my name. Uh-huh. And the most precious part of when he rose is when Mary's in the garden wondering where they've taken her Jesus. And she's looking because she doesn't see his body. But when he says, Mary, he knew her name. And can you just imagine that there are times in our lives where we just hear him say, Linda, he knows out of everybody in they always said that when he called Lazarus from the dead, he had to call him by name. You know what I'm saying? Lazarus, come forth. God is saying today to somebody, I don't know, I might not know everybody's name in here, but God knows your name. And wherever it is in your life that you are having a hard time, God is calling your name today and to let you know that you, through him, you can come out, you can be strong, and you can have victory. One of the names that I've looked at and been studying on is that he's called us ambassadors. And one of the things that causes us to represent wrong, if we don't understand who we are and who we represent. And so I talked about last Sunday is that God wants us to represent the kingdom. And a lot of times we are representing the culture and not our, where we have our citizenship is in the heavenly kingdom. We're representing the culture that we live in. I'm going to need my phone, babe. There's a story in there that I want. Did I put it down? I'll get to that part by then. It should be in my shirt. Or else I'll just be telling this story. I'll be winging this story, okay? But I wanted to read it correctly. But I can make, it's a made up story, so that means I can make it up too. I can add some extra stuff in it, okay? Because it's a fable, okay? But I can't make up anything out the word of God. Because nothing about it is a fable, all right? It is the true word of God. But I'm going to start with this. In John 1 and 12, it says this, so that we can understand who we are first. It says, but as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, the power, privilege, and right to become the children of God. That is to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. So I just want you to contemplate on that just for a second. And have you welcomed the Lord in your life? Do you believe in him today? Do you trust in him? Do you rely on him? Do you adhere to him? If your answer is yes, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. So I am a child of God. And you know, our minds always goes into 100 other things. I'm a child of God if I do this, and if I've been baptized, and if I spoke in tongues. Our mind goes to, but God wants you just simply to say, receive him. I love it. That's what he says to the disciples, to receive him, to receive him. He wants us this morning to simply, in all the simpleness of it, because God gives you the power to do everything else. But you have to simply receive him right now in the name of Jesus. If you have received him and welcomed him. That means, God, I welcome you. And I was thinking last night, you know, that I don't welcome him like a guest in my home. Okay? And so I was laying there and I was thinking, I said, so I welcome you. And then I thought about a guest. And then the Lord said, no. And then I said, oh, no, you're more than that. And so then I said, oh, yeah, because you're the landlord. And God said, oh. He said, I'm the owner. And until I become the owner, do you welcome me? So we can welcome him at certain levels without welcoming him as Lord, okay? We can welcome him as the Savior, the one who fixes things. But God wants us to welcome him as Lord over our lives. You are Lord over my life. My whole life belongs to you. There's no room you can't go in. There's no place you can't, no chair you can't sit on. Come on. I welcome you as Lord in my life. So today, when we say welcome, it's not, I just welcome you into my living room because it's cleaned up. I welcome you into my bedroom where it's not all together. I welcome you into that closet that we throw everything in. I welcome you into it all. You are welcome. And God knows when we can welcome into the glorious places, the nice places, the places we think we've got it together. But God knows when he's really welcome, when he's welcome to the places where we are dishonest. God, I don't have it together. God, this is a mess over here. It's jacked up in this area. But God, you're welcome here. Because God, you're the only one that can fix it. You're the only one that can change it. You're the only one that can deliver. You're welcome. And so God wants to be welcome in our homes, in this temple that he has given us. And so today as we think about, and he wants to be welcome. And I love that because no one has to sit here this morning and feel like, I can't welcome him yet because I got that. I got anger. I got bitterness. I'm an adulteress. I'm a cheater. I'm a liar. I can't welcome him. God doesn't tell you to clean up before you welcome him. He's saying you can't get clean to welcome me. And so God wants you to welcome him right now and just take the enjoyment and the true love of being accepted as you truly are and love right where you are right now, right now, right at this moment. God loves you right now. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You might even look at yourself and think, you love me. He loves you right where you are. Right, even past what you did this morning, how angry you was on the way at the church, how you fussed out the lady that as you was driving down the street. Somebody says, you are giving them license to sin. No, I'm giving you license to accept the love of Jesus Christ, who can free you from all sin. Because as long as there's guilt and shame, we cannot accept the forgiveness of God. So we let the guilt and shame go, and we allow God to come in and let him clean us up, deliver us, and strengthen us. In the Message Bible, it says this, but whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, this is the most precious part of love. He made to be their true self, their child of God's self. That is so, y'all might not get it yet, but Wednesday in Bible study, one, Pastor encourages us on the Bible study. You need to take that admonition seriously. But God said something that made me want to just run around the church. It just flooded me with this joy. Me and Pastor David was just, I didn't know Pastor David felt the same thing till I was telling him about it later, and he was like, he felt the same thing. But we was talking, and Juan was talking about, you know, the things that he did and coming to Christ. And he was like, but said, that's not me. That's not me. And he said it so childlike. He said it in such a, sincere way that even my heart cried and knew that place. What it knew was that place. It knew that place that all the nasty and the ugly and the crazy that I'd done, I realized one day under the admonition of the word of God that that really wasn't who I was. That wasn't really who I was called to be. That even though I was doing all those things and I would look in the mirror, you didn't have to look at me disgusted. I was already disgusted with myself. But under the admonition of the word of God, one day I heard the word of God that let me know, that's not you, Linda. That's not who I made you to be. That's not who I created you to be. You're greater than that. You have me on board, and you can conquer all of that. And I could hear it in his voice when he said, that's not me. I just wanted to run around the church and say, he got it, you guys. He got it. He really got it. I was so excited about that, because that's when we get it. When we continue to allow the enemy to let us walk in guilt and shame and look at me and I'm disgusting and I'm a nobody and this is my lot in life. This is who I am. When we continue to let the enemy do that to us, we will always and never feel that greatness and love of God. But when you connect with the love of God, that lets you know, that person, that's not you. This walk in the flesh, this is not you. That you were made in God's image. In God's image, with his spirit, with his character, we were made in our, and I was thinking of the animals, everything God made. But we're the only thing that he created. His image. And when I look in the Bible and you start seeing and you start to know your Father so well and you start seeing God is love, God is forgiveness, you get to all his character as we're singing this morning. That's why I think the praises erupt. You know, we're Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nisi. As we start saying all these are his characters, the virtues of God. Do you know that they can be our virtues too? That I can look like my daddy. I can be like my daddy. I can walk like my daddy. I can talk like my daddy. And that other person, that sinful person, God went to the cross so that I would truly know who I am. So there's this story that I had to look it up because I knew it as a child. This story was told to me. And it's a story about the eagle and the chicken. Some of y'all have heard about it, okay? And so it's told about this eagle that thought he was a chicken, okay? And so when the eagle was very small, he fell from the safety. And you guys, even as I'm reading this story, just so much of spirituality is just, you know, just rising up in my spirit. But it says, when the eagle was very small, he fell from the safety of his nest. And a chicken farmer found the eagle and brought him to the farm and raised him in a chicken coop among his many chickens. The eagle grew up doing what chickens do, living like a chicken, clucking like a chicken, eating like a chicken, and believing that he was a chicken. A naturalist came to the chicken farm to see if what he had heard about an eagle acting like a chicken was really true. He knew that an eagle is king of the sky. He was surprised to see the eagle strutting around the chicken coop, pecking at the ground, and acting very much like a chicken. The farmer explained to the naturalist that this bird was no longer an eagle. He was now a chicken because he had been trained to be a chicken, and he believed that he was a chicken. The naturalist knew there was more to this great bird than his actions showed as he pretended to be a chicken. He was born an eagle and had the heart of an eagle, and nothing could change that. The man lifted the eagle onto the fence surrounding the chicken coop and said, "Eagle, thou art an eagle. Stretch forth thy wings and fly." The eagle moved slightly, only to look at the man. Then he glanced down at his home among the chickens in the chicken coop where he was. He jumped off the fence and continued doing what chickens do. The farmer was satisfied. "I told you, chicken." The naturalist returned the next day and tried again to convince the farmer that the eagle was an eagle. and was born for something greater. He took the eagle to the top of the farmhouse and spoke to him, "Eagle, thou art an eagle. Thou dost belong to the sky and not to the earth. Stretch forth thy wings and fly." The large bird looked at the man, then again down into the chicken coop. He jumped from the man's arm onto the roof of the farmhouse. Knowing what eagles are really about, the naturalist asked the farmer to let him try one more time. He would return the next day and prove that this bird was an eagle. The farmer, convinced otherwise, said this chicken. The naturalist returned the next morning to the chicken farm and took the eagle, and the farmer came some distance away to the foot of a high mountain. They could not see the farm nor the chicken coop from this new setting. The man held the eagle on his arm and pointed high into the sky, where the bright sun was beckoning above. He spoke, "Eagle, thou art an eagle. Thou dost belong to the sky and not to the earth. Stretch forth thy wings and fly." This time the eagle stared skyward into the bright sun, straightened his large body, and stretched his massive wings. His wings moved slowly at first, then surely and powerfully. With the mighty stretch of an eagle, he flew. This story just blessed me so much, because y'all telling me some fable. Okay. This story has a lot in it that if we look at it, I can find God. See, there's something, I can look at a stop sign. Every time we're driving down the street, I can read a sign, and I see Jesus in that sign. I see Jesus working through things, and that's why he told parables, because he wanted man to be able to get things. But I love this, is that this eagle, he was stuck in his environment, and all he could see was chickens, and he was in a coop. And how many of us have, before we came to Christ, we was in the coop of sin, in the coop of the world. And all we could see was the world. And we walked like the world, and we talked like the world, and we acted like the world. And God wanted to take us out of that coop. And he wanted, can you imagine our Father looking down? You are not that. You are not that sinner. You are not that hater. You are not that bitter person. You are not that angry person. You are not that liar. You are not that cheater. You are not that whoremonger. You are not that adult. You are my sons. You are my daughters. You are. See, and I love movies like that when there's the misconstrued identity. That's why I love Annie so much, because Annie didn't really know that she was, you know, on Little Orphan Annie. She didn't really know that her father was rich. You know, she'd been living all the time in the orphanage. And sometimes we live like orphans, but we're daughters and sons of the Most High God. And God wants us to know who we really are, because until we know who we really are, we don't accept all the authority and the power and the ability that we have, because all we see is from the environment that we have grown up in. And God wants us to know that we are greater than that. He wants us to know that we are citizens of the Most High. We are citizens of heaven. I want to prove that to you, because I told you a fable, but let me tell you what the Word of God says. In Philippians 3:20-21, it says, "But we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven." That's no fable, y'all. That's from the Word of God. We are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven. And from it also we earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as Savior. This morning when I was worshiping, this verse was going through my heart, and I love this part, "who will transform and fashion anew the body of our humiliation to conform to and be like the body of his glory and majesty by exerting that power which enables him to subject everything to himself." God is letting us know that there's going to be a change, that we are of heaven, and that we are going to be, we're waiting for that transformation. We are stuck in these bodies, in this flesh right now, that we have to keep under subjection, or still will try to master over us. But there's a day coming. We're waiting for that day, that even in, as we go into our resurrection week, that God lets us know that we are going to rise too. And when we rise, we're going to have a glorified body. Come on. A body that's not driving us crazy. A body that we don't have to keep fighting with. We're going to have a glorified body. And we're going to receive it through Jesus Christ, who's given us power through the power of the resurrection. In Luke 12 and 32, it says this: "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Good pleasure. This morning, you guys, as I'm worshiping, I'm thinking of all these beautiful things. I'm thinking that my God is giving me going to give me a glorified body, but right here down on earth, it's his pleasure to give me the kingdom. It's his pleasure to give me the kingdom. That means his way of doing things, the right way of doing things, my true identity. You know, to let me know who I really am and the authority that I really have and the power that I can really walk in. Not when I get up there, but while I'm on this earth, it's God's good pleasure to stop me from eating and pecking little seeds like a chicken, but to be able to eat the real food of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. God wants us to taste his good food, his nourishing food, his food that grows us into his image. And these things excite me as I'm worshiping. This is the God I'm worshiping. This is the God I'm giving praise to, that it is his good pleasure to give to me, who didn't deserve it. Who didn't deserve it. But it's his good pleasure to give me the kingdom. And amplifies it, don't be seized with alarm and struck by fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Everybody that's in here, it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, to give us the word of God, to give us instruction, to give us the know-how, to give us the get through, to get over, to get in, understanding that we need to know how to do. It's his good pleasure. I would think, you know, sometimes in my life, I would think, because of how my flesh is sometimes, if man did me like they did Jesus, like we did Jesus, y'all would be gone. I would have found me something else to create, okay? But God did not give up on us. And you know what? And he's changing that mindset in me, because that is not his image, to give up on mankind, but to love mankind and to forgive mankind. And I'm so glad that he does, because if he didn't forgive mankind, I wouldn't be forgiven. He calls us in the Bible ambassadors. And I want to talk a little bit about that and let us understand what that means. Every nation appoints ambassadors to represent its interests to other nations. The kingdom of heaven is the prototype of kingdom. And so God chose to represent his kingdom throughout the earth through personal representatives called ambassadors. An ambassador is a political appointee whose job is to represent and speak for his home government before the rulers of other countries. When I thought about that, and you see, if you ever watch on TV and you watch different ambassadors that come from America, different countries, they are representing the country, and they are, you know, they are appointed and hold a very high position. And so when we think about that, even when I'm thinking about that, that God calls me an ambassador, I mean, if you really think about it, it will change the way you represent, because you don't see the ambassador, when you see the ambassador of the United States going to another country, you don't see him going looking like a thug, acting like a thug, talking like a thug. You don't see him going on his own behalf. He is going on the behalf of the United States. He's going to represent the United States of America. So as you begin to look at that word, and when I look at a word, then I said, God, you call me that. How do you want me to walk that out? And am I walking that out? That's how, you know, where is it that I'm not walking that out? What do I need to do to be a better ambassador for you? So in 2 Corinthians, it says this. Paul says, so we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal as it were through us. We as Christ's personal representatives beg you for his sake to lay a hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. In this scripture, Paul is letting them know that we are ambassadors. We represent God. And we come to make an appeal to you that you would be reconciled to God. And one of the things I realized from that is Paul had to believe what he said before he could share that. He had to be reconciled to God to let somebody else know that they can be reconciled to God. He had to have faith that you know, everything that his king wanted him to do and everything his king represented, he had to ask that. It's hard to represent something you don't believe in. It's hard to share it with authority or with power. You can just share it, you know, just by rote thing. But with authority and a power, you have to believe in what you are saying. So an ambassador has to believe in the kingdom for which he stands and for the king that is over that kingdom. As ambassadors of heaven, we represent our Father God's kingdom on earth. Here are characteristics of an ambassador. And when I look at these things, all of a sudden, it gives you more strength, more power, more peace when you really represent what that title is. An ambassador has access to all his nation's wealth. Now, what can that mean? What that means is that when the ambassador is sent, whatever that ambassador needs in that kingdom or country he's sent to, he has access to all the wealth of his kingdom backing him up. Now, some of y'all might say, well, you know what? I'm in this earth and I'm pretty poor. And you're representing the kingdom of God. And I want to go back to, you have, once you really realize that you are an ambassador, you have all the wealth of heaven backing you up for your assignment. For your assignment. Some of us don't need to be millionaires for our assignment. Millionaires would mess us up and we'd forget all about the assignment. So you have all the wealth of heaven backing you up for your assignment. John the Baptist was in the wilderness, you know, declaring repent. And he was in the wilderness, living in the wilderness. He didn't need a mansion. He didn't need $1 million for his assignment. He needed faith in God. And he didn't need nothing to mess him up in his assignment. And so a lot of times we're saying, if what you're saying is not true, because it's not what you need. I mean, not what you want for your assignment. It's what you need. You have all the wealth of heaven to back you up for what you need in your assignment and what's going to keep you in your assignment on board straight with your assignment, not messing you up. The ambassador is appointed by the king. Okay. We have been appointed. Isn't that wonderful? Not voted in by man, because most of us wouldn't be an ambassador if it took the vote of man. Because man would see what we've done, never forgot what we've done, and they would declare us unworthy, right? But God is the one that appoints us as ambassadors by the very virtue that we are his sons and we are his daughters, all right? An ambassador never speaks his personal position. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Right there, right there. He never speaks his personal position. An ambassador, all he has to do, because he has heaven backing him, all he has to do is say the position of the kingdom that he represents. You know, sometimes we get so messed up because when we're out there and we're talking to people, we're trying to defend and debate and do all, instead of, this is what the kingdom I represent, this is what the kingdom of God says. We can just keep it as simple as that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But what if, thou shalt not, according to the kingdom I represent, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie. But wonder if I have to fudge just a little bit, because if I tell the whole truth, I won't get the whole amount of money back. The kingdom I represent, the kingdom that I represent, thou shalt not lie. People will make fun. Oh, you know, people might even, when we pay tithes, people was like, you got all them kids, 7 kids, and you giving all that money to the church. You need to, that's foolish. You need to save some of that money and put some food and shoes on them. The kingdom I represent, I don't have to argue with you. I don't have to debate with you. The kingdom that I represent, that is how we get blessed in our kingdom. In our kingdom, we give 10% and God takes care. That's, I don't have to argue with you. I don't have to spend no 5 hours discussing with you. See, God said, just keep it simple. You represent and you speak on the behalf of the kingdom, not your. And sometimes there has been times, I want to say this, there's times where the word has you, where you're not quite fully persuaded, okay, in your own mind. Okay, I might not be persuaded about the understanding of the word, but I am persuaded about my God, that he is truth and he's never failed me yet. And so according to the kingdom that I represent, it's for me to get myself in order with this word. And I'm not going to confuse anybody by saying, well, I don't really know if that works or not. No, I'm going to get myself in alignment, because God's word never fails. So I don't never speak my personal position. Okay. A lot of messed up in the world thinking is because a lot of Christian has spoken their personal position. An ambassador is committed only to the state interest. Remember what I told you last week, that don't forget that you are on assignment. Don't make the assignment about who you are. You are on an assignment for the king, no matter where you're at, no matter where you're at, the post office, the Walmart, your job, you are on assignment for the king. And don't get it confused or twisted that's who you are. You are on assignment, and on assignment, you do whatever you are, the king tells you to do. I'm in Walmart. I'm looking around like I like to do. I'm looking for sales in the middle of Walmart while I'm looking at that purse that's on sale now, was $29.99. And today, $5. I hear the Holy Spirit say, there's a lady over there. I need you to go over there and pray. I've got to put the purse down, and because I'm on assignment for the kingdom. And I go and I say, is there something I can pray for you for? I'm on assignment. See, a lot of times we don't get it. Pastor Sam, he's cutting people's hair. He's doing great fade. He's doing wonderful lines. Everything's looking good. And he's standing there, haircut. Man's going to pay him really good. But God says, don't charge me today. There's something that I want you to get to him. I want you to get a work. Assignment for the king. Don't, God can tell us to do things in the middle of our what we think is our job, but we're on assignment for him. And God can tell us to do things that right then, what comes first? Our assignment for the king, not our personal. Somebody might be saying, Sam, how are you going to do that? How are you going to let people, and I know Sam's been told this because we've told him that. How are you going to let people not pay you? This is your income. Sam is on assignment, and God, he never failed him yet. Never failed him yet. We have a dentist that's a wonderful dentist, and what he does is, and I've seen this over the years that we've been here, is that pastors, he does their work great, you know, their, you know, dental work. And when I first went there, I was like, what was, you know, there's a lot. But this man has so much business that he had to outbid to his son, outsource, so much business. He'll let you know God has never failed him yet. God has never, because God told him to do it. And it's not about him saying, what about me? It's about how can I glorify God? And when you do it like that, God will bless you. So committed only to the state or the kingdom's interest. And he's totally covered by the kingdom. As an ambassador, we are totally covered by the kingdom that we rep. Thanks to God, we should not be worried. We should not be stressed. And one of the things you'll see in this, when Jesus sent them out two by two, he didn't tell them to be, he said, just take some shoes and take, you know, take your shoes and take your clothes. He didn't say, I'll be worried and have this big stash of money and have a, no, he didn't. He didn't have them take, because he said, you're backed by the government that has sent you. God is going to support. Sometimes we get so afraid, but as God's ambassadors, he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And all my seven kids and 36 grandkids, I've never seen where I've been forsaken. Our his seed begging bread. And our goal as ambassadors is to bring kingdom influence. Not my influence, but kingdom influence to the territory. That is our goal. Everywhere we go is to bring kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, not as it is in Linda's mind or Linda's thought or to promote Linda, but as it is in heaven, let it be done on earth. That is an ambassador. We're supposed to bring kingdom influence to our job, to any place that we go. Sometimes we can be very professional on our jobs, but when we're out having fun and we just want to let our hair down, we still represent the kingdom. We still bring an influence when we're playing baseball, when we're playing basketball, when we're getting mad over our team didn't win. We still need to bring the influence of heaven to earth. And the ambassador is wholly protected by his government. This one had a little bit of, let me dig a little bit further, because in it we see people like Stephen preaching for the Lord, Stephen gets stoned. We see Jesus healing, deliver, that can kind of make some people say, I don't want to be an ambassador. But an ambassador will die for a cause. There are people that die for things not way, 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 way less. But to die for the cause of Christ, an ambassador goes in ready to die for the cause. For God I live, for God I die. I believe in this so much, I'll die for it. And sometimes we got to ask ourselves, you know, do I believe in this so much that I will die for it? I will give up my life for the cause of Christ. Or is there something in our life that's so precious that if you go to touch it, we will back off from being an ambassador for the Lord? But in that, that's part of being an ambassador is the part that you could die. You could die for your country. You could go into these other countries. You could get killed in these other countries. But are you willing to stand for the cause of Christ? Jesus, he was the first ambassador from heaven, and he was willing to die for us. His love for us was so real love for us, because we can say all day long, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. But if somebody comes in here and says, you know, you or them, Are we going to say, I love you so much? Take me. Now, we like to believe that. All of us would like to believe that. But sometimes I realize that even as much as I would say it, like, you better not. You take me before you even touch Pastor David. But then when he says, can I have a piece of that candy bar? You know, those bold statements, that seem so far off, but the near give up for. You eat your own candy bar. That's why we're in God's house. That's why we're growing and growing, because we want to be these people, but we have to grow because we still got this stingy, nasty flesh that gets into the way of all of our bold statements. And every so often when we examine ourselves, Lord, I need a little more Jesus. I need more of you, God, so that when I'm presented, or if I ever was presented, could I stand the way that I see in my mind that I'm standing? But you can't just see it in your mind, guys. You got to get in your everyday living, in your actions, to stand. And so a lot of times when we're being tested, we're wondering, why am I going through this? Why is this happening? It's because these are tests in our life to see that the very things that we say, can we walk it out? Can we live it? And God doesn't test us. What did he say? Above that, we are able. But he's a good trainer. And he's training us in areas that he knows we could do it if we just do it. If you're being trained there, you can do it. Because God said, I won't test you above that you're able. So if you're being tested in an area, just know you can do it. Now you got to decide, will I do it? Because God knows you can do it, or else you would not be tested. So our first ambassador was exemplified by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And one of the greatest chapters where we find how he walked out this ambassadorship is in John 14. And it says, they were asking him, the disciples were saying, show us the Father. Where's the Father? We want to see the Father. And Jesus says to them, have I been with all of you for so long a time? And do you not recognize and know me yet, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say then, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? What I'm telling you, I do not say on my own authority and on my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me does his work, his own miracles and deeds of power. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you cannot trust me, at least let these works that I do in my Father's name convince you. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than thee, because I go to him. This chapter right here is the embodiment of being in fact. He lets us know, when you see me, you see the Father. Now, Jesus is saying this, but the funniest thing about it are not the things that were funny, but the powerful thing about it is that when we become one with Jesus, we can say this thing. That's the power. The power of it, when this is an ambassador, that when you see the ambassador, you see the government. When you see the ambassador, you see the king of that government. That's the ambassador. So when we say we are ambassadors, then when we should be able to see right there what Jesus, when you see me, when you see Linda, you should see the Father. I mean, when I start reading like that, when you see me, you see the Father. Do y'all not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in Linda? Come on. What I'm saying to you right now, I'm not saying on my own authority, on my own accord, but the Father, and here, it was pretty good until it got to this one place, but I'm not saying it on my own accord, but the Father who lives, no, there's a word right before it, the Father who lives continually. Now, let me tell you, that's a given fact, but that it's not one that we walk as though. That's a given fact. The Father doesn't jump in and out of us. But the Father lives continually in us. But do we give validity to that? Do we give power to that? Do we give attention to that? Do we walk according to the Holy Spirit telling us what to do, where to go, what to say, how to say it? Or do we not listen? Because if we listened, then we could truly say that what I'm saying, I don't say on my own authority or on my own accord, because the Father who lives continually, who I'm listening to continually, in spite of that I'm mad, in spite of that I'm upset, in spite of that I'm scared, in spite of that I'm worried, I am listening to him continually, not my feelings, but him continually. And it says, when I listen to him continually, then I can do his work. I can do his miracles. And I can do his deeds of power when I listen to him continually. Oh, you guys, we got to come out of those timeout modes. You know, I just took a timeout, God. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to. No, we got to come out of them timeout modes, and we got to be continually hearing him. And then could we say this with such connect, believe me, but you know how sometimes we've been lying and telling people, believe me, really, I'm telling the truth, believe me. But could we say today, according to this word, believe me, you guys, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father, believe me. And then he said, if you don't believe what I'm saying, then there should be something else that can make you believe it, by my very work. Are my work believable that the Holy Spirit is within me? Because if this is how an ambassador walks, I got work to prove that I am ambassador of the kingdom of God. I have work to prove that I come from the King of Glory. I have work that bears evidence with demonstration and with power. You guys, right here is where God is still working on the church. Work with demonstration and with power. Because a lot of times we think we're getting over on our talking. We can talk, preach. We can preach, and talk and talk. But the world is looking for demonstration. Because there's a whole lot of talking in the world and in the church. But there's got to be some demonstration that back talk up. I assure you most solemnly, and he's telling us today, and even when I'm saying that, it can make us look like, well, I'm not there. God's word is never to make us, the enemy's always trying to make us feel like, oh, it's no use, man. I'm not even close to that. That's not the voice of your Father. Our Father wants us to know, look, God, I'm assure you, I'm going to tell you this most solemnly, if anyone steadfastly, that means be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It just get steadfast. You know, God said, yes, I know it seems like you don't have all the power and all the authority, that I'm just telling you what to do, my children. Get steadfast in the word of God, steadfast in prayer. Fully persuaded in your own mind that I am who I say I am. I do what I, you, he said, I'm telling you, once you get steadfast and believe in me and believe, oh God, help our unbelief. help our unbelief. He said, once we really believe in him, he said, most assuredly, God, he said, with assurance, you'll be able to do the things that I do. And then he just added this greater and greater. Oh, God, I just want to do the things he did. But he said, I could do greater. You know, most of us, that's all we're looking for is, Lord, you know what? Can I just do what you did? And God is saying, yeah, I'm trying to level you up some. I'm leveling you up greater things. I got to get your mind out the chicken coop. Come on, greater things. I want to get you off the ground and I want you to soar. I want you to soar above your limitations. He said, I want you to go higher because I live within you. I'm in you. And most assuredly, you'll be able to do greater things. Most solemnly, in John 5:19, it says this. So Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you the Son is able to do nothing. And here comes our humility. Because pride is what messes us up, okay? You know, because you can say a word to somebody and somebody, I mean, I've been this in my walk in my walk with Christ. You know, God has used me prophetically and said things. Somebody came back and said, but just what you said, that was, and I've taken it as just what I said. It worked. I said it. Felt a certain sense of, woo, that's powerful. But the thing is that I want to remind us all, we're doing nothing of ourselves. Nothing of ourselves. It's all through Christ. And Jesus had that humility. He says, I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself, of his own accord, but he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way. Whatever I do, I have to do it like the Father would. Remember, there's no new thing under, you didn't get no new revelation or new way of doing something. It's the way the Father does it, okay? Sometimes we think we came up with something, but you want to do it the way the Father does it. In the message, it says, I'm telling you this straight. The Son can't independently do a thing, and there's so many people wanting to be independent on their own. The Son can't do anything independently. Only what he sees the Father doing. What the Father does, the Son does. Come on. Can we say that when we're talking, when I'm entreating my husband or I'm trying to bring something to my husband, can I say, this is the way the Father would do it? This is the way the Father would say it. When I'm talking to my children, this is the way the Father would do it. When I'm chastising my children, it's the way the Father would do it. When I'm on my job, it's this the way the Father would do it. I don't do anything independently on my own. And sometimes we don't think the Father did it hard enough or right enough. We're going to put our little interjection in. It's going to fail. And it's not going to represent the kingdom of God. We must remember that we are not representing a religion, a tradition, or the world. But we are representing the kingdom of God. God's saying, don't make it hard. He's already showed you. There's right. The plan is laid before us. Don't make it hard. Represent the king and represent his kingdom. But first of all, we're going to have to believe in the standard of the king. I said, you got to believe in the standards of the king. If you don't believe in the standards of the king, you're not going to represent. So you have to believe in the standard of the king, that his standard is right. His standard is living. His standard is life. We can't have all this reasoning going on and debate. There are no options. If God said it, that settles it. We have to have absolute trust in our king and in his kingdom. Jesus. The reason why he didn't have such a big old falling, our struggle when he was in the wilderness and was talking to Satan, because he didn't have those debates. It was just simply, it is written. When the enemy brought anything up to him, it is written. And God said, let's not make it so hard. Like, we've got to prove it. We've got to bring all the ins and outs to a conversation. When someone's asking us a question, we make it so hard of how we've got to bring it all out. And sometimes we bring it all out and we get out of the Word of God, when we should just stay with, it is written. You know, I was thinking, it was kind of funny. I was thinking to myself, like, anything that I really, really believe in, you know, I'm not debating with you about it. If I say the sky is blue and you say it's orange, I'm not standing there for an hour to prove to you that the sky is orange. I'm going to say it is blue. And then you say it is orange. I might give you one more time. It is blue. But then you say it's orange. We'll talk another day when you get a better revelation. I am not. Anything that I really believe in, I'm not arguing about it. I'm not debating about it. It's a fact. But it's the things that we kind of don't know that we will stand and we will debate about it and try to prove, because we're still trying to prove to ourselves that we believe it. But God wants us to get fully persuaded, so that as a representative, we just speak the kingdom's mandates, the kingdom's word, and we're not debating anything. It's for you to receive it. I already know that is true. We're not trying to choke it down their throats to, you know, to receive it. We give it and we let God do the rest. We are his representatives. I was thinking, Phil, about you out there planting, and I was thinking about how we get mixed up as God's representatives about the word. Like a seed, when you put it in the ground, I was just thinking that if every seed, you know, we wanted to make sure that seed was in the ground, and we wanted to do the whole of it, and we took a hammer, and we're just like, I'm going to make sure the seed is still in the ground. And most of us don't realize that as Christians, that's what we're doing. We're hammering it instead of just planting it and allowing God to bring the increase. Planting it by faith, planting it because we believe in that seed and believe in the one who gave us the seed that he will bring forth. Just planting it. I end with this scripture. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, it says, inasmuch as we refute argument and theory and reasoning and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive in the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. This scripture, sometimes we think that's the gospel. I'm going to refute every one of your thoughts that don't add up to God. But you know, the greatest place that we have to refute thoughts that don't add up to God? In our own mind. And this scripture is saying that in my own mind, I'm going to refute those arguments that comes and says, I don't think that. Does God really mean that? Does God really say that? Does he mean that I can't live with somebody before I get married? Because that doesn't even make sense. What if somebody told me the other day that more young people today are living together because they are trying marriage before they would ever commit to it? Sounds good. Sounds reasonable. Sounds like that makes sense. Why would I even get into something without trying it on? Remember what I said, you're personal. But according to the word of God, that does not make sense.
Come on now, preach it.
The kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, his tender commandments is to keep us from hurt, to keep us from harm, to keep us from being stripped because of sin. The kingdom. So in my mind, I've got to cast down theories and reasonings that go against the word of God. Everything that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And I like how it says in the Message Bible, it says that we need to fit in every loose thought. We got a lot of loose thoughts running around in our head, huh? A lot of loose thoughts that don't add up to the Word of God. Every loose thought and emotion and impulse, all those things that run around inside of us, we've got to fit them. Does that fit into the Word of God? And you can't use the Word of God, like, I don't really like puzzles. My husband loves puzzles, and I get tired of them. And so sometimes I'll just take that piece, and I'll just push it in there. If it kind of fits, that's where it's going. I'm done. But we can't do that with the Word of God.
Come on now.
We can't do that. We can't just fit it in and just fit that thing that don't fit there. We're just gonna, I'm gonna, just so I can be done, so I can be finished. No, it's gotta fit. You guys, if it doesn't fit, it's not for you. If it doesn't fit in the Word of God, it's not what you're supposed to do. And what Christians, we gotta stop. When I tell you, we're confusing the world. The world is very confused because we are doing the world like a puzzle, like I'm doing. We're fitting everything. We're fitting lying, cheating, whoremongering. We're fitting it all into the kingdom of God. This is what the kingdom of God is. And we're fitting it. We're pushing it in because it feels good today. And I want to do it. But the world is smart enough to know that. That doesn't go there. That piece don't go there. That's what the world is like. I'm so confused. That don't go there. Christians shouldn't be lying. Christians shouldn't be cheating. Christians shouldn't be committing adultery. That don't go there. And we're like, but today I feel it feels good. Today I want to do it. Today. And we're pushing it. I just say it, Kingdom citizens, let's represent. You got to represent whether it feels good or not. You represent because it is good. And if it's good for me, it's good for you. Do you understand? And I'm saying that to the world. If it's good for me as God's daughter, it's good for the world. I'm saying to them, this is the best way to do it according to God's word, so you don't lose. And so as we stand today, we are ambassadors. Oh my God, we are ambassadors. I am an ambassador. And could you ask your friend, just think about it, could you ask your friend, when you see me, you see the Lord? I just begin to go down different people in my life. Could I ask my kids when I'm worried and I'm frantic and I don't know what they're doing and I'm like, what are you doing? Could I say, when you see me, you see the Father? They probably say, no, Mama, we see you. Could I ask my husband when I'm disappointed and I'm upset and I'm going in my room and I close my door and I decide I ain't talking to you for a couple of days? Could I come out and say, when you see me, you see the Father? Could you go on your job and when someone on your job, they don't treat you fair and you're ready to cuss them out, or are you ready to quit? You guys, you can't quit always. Remember, we're sent. This is another thing God told me to tell you guys. Because we're of the kingdom, we're sent. Everywhere we go, we're sent. And we get our orders from God. And sometimes God will make you stay someplace because it ain't about your uncomfortableness. It's about what he wants to do through you. And today, to say,
my provider,
the Father. The way you handle that, Jehovah, I see the Father. The way you said that, I see the Father. The way you left that apartment that you left and went to another apartment and left that nasty apartment all funky, thinking I'm on my way. Did they see the Father? I don't know why I'm saying even that, but anyway. We've got to represent. The way the innuendos and the things that we say on the fly, the way that we entreat one another in the church. We are brothers and sisters. Can everybody depend on Sam being a brother? Or do the sisters have to worry about him being somebody that they got
to
be afraid of? Because of the way he says things, the hug, Peace. Let's get real. Let's represent. In the name of Jesus, Father, we are your ambassadors, making your appeal to the world. You are the best thing that could ever happen in their lives. Oh God, may they see that in our lives. May they see the power, the authority that you've given us to walk out your image, that your will will be done in earth as it is in heaven through us. Father, help us where we're weak. Help us where we're off, God. Thank you for the fact that you haven't rolled us off, God, but that you continue to train us and teach us in love, that God, your love has so much hope that we will be what you called us to be, that you never give up on us, and we are so grateful. God, we thank you for this word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Right now, if there's anybody in the house of the Lord and you haven't given your heart to the Lord, your heart. Remember this morning I said that a lot